Hello and welcome to another episode of We Have a Meeting. Today is Trench Tips with your host. I'm Jack Frimston.
And I'm Zach Thompson.
Good to see you, Zach. Zach,
good to see you.
I'm actually really glad you're here today because I've got to ask you a bit of a difficult question.
Okay.
It's a really tough question. I don't want to upset you. Is that okay?
No, just ask me, mate. Ask me. It's fine.
Okay. How do you ask difficult questions on cold calls or in sales conversations?
That is a tough question. Give me an example.
Well, you have a great conversation with somebody. Mm-hmm. There's a little niggle. You've got that feeling in your belly, and it's not lunchtime. You're not going to be going to Nando's. But you've got a little niggle in your belly that they might not turn up.
Great one. Great one. So a good rule for all people, I think, but definitely all salespeople, is if you feel it, what should you do?
You should say it.
You should say it, exactly. So if you feel that way, there's probably a reason. And unless you're a very, very paranoid person or you've got a mental health condition, chances are it's probably based on some evidence for that call, right? So if you're dealing with someone and they are giving you that sign that they're probably not going to show up, and I'm telling you, if you feel it, you should say it, what should you do?
Well, should I just jump in and say, are you going to be at this meeting, Zach? Sounds probably a bit blunt, doesn't it?
Probably a bit too blunt. You probably need a way of softening that up a little bit. So what I'd say is, if it's a really blunt question, you probably, or a potentially offensive question or weird question, you probably want to get permission first to ask it so that it's not like a smack in the face with a baseball bat, right? So I'd probably go for, look, Jack, do you mind if I ask you a really blunt question before we get off the call?
Yeah, go on.
If I said I had a feeling you weren't going to show up to this meeting, what would you tell me?
Okay, cool. Can I just delve into that a little bit deeper? Because that question didn't seem that blunt. And I know you, and I know what you're doing. So I know that there's some psychology behind that. So you've said, can I ask you a blunt question? When you ask the question as it is, it can come across as a bit blunt. When you soften it, it's not blunt. So in terms of psychology and expectations, is there a reason that we do that?
Well, think of it like this, right? If I rang you up on a Saturday, as I often do on a dog walk, because I miss you so much. it's not Monday to Friday. I don't get to bother you all the time. If I rang you up and went, look, mate, I've got to ask you something really tough, and it's been doing my head in a bit, and I've got to ask you, what would happen to you? Well, how would you start feeling?
Probably like the same emotion, if I had to describe it, where you just put something in my diary at 4 o'clock on a Friday, and it says Jack and Zach, I think, I'm being kicked out. I'm being kicked out of this company. The adrenaline would probably rush up from my feet. That's where adrenaline starts for all of you doctors that are listening. Adrenaline starts in the feet and it comes up all the way to the brain. And within those few seconds, I'm probably thinking, what has he got to ask me? Is it something bad? Is it something? Have I done something? All my mind is going to be filled with worry and doubt, and the anxiety is probably getting worse. And then you ask me.
So it sounds like what you're saying is there's a chance that you could think of the worst possible outcome to what I'm going to say. That feels like naturally where your mind's going.
So you say it to me on a Saturday. You say, have you been texting my partner?
And have you?
Well, sometimes we do talk. Yeah, she does help us out from time to time.
So then you're going to think of, let's say, like worst possible bad scenario. Yeah. And then when I tell you something that's not that bad, what's going to happen to you then?
That adrenaline that is in the core of my mind is going to go back down to the feet. I'm going to feel a rush of relief and actually probably quite carefree. So you're probably going to get a good response.
Exactly.
So before we kind of move a little bit further, because that's quite interesting. So how powerful was the pause in that moment? So you ask a difficult question.
Really, really powerful. Even the tone of voice. If I'm on a Zoom call, like a discovery call, I'll do this. So I'm taking notes. I like to make it clear. I do a bit of that so they can see that that's what I'm doing. I've got the pen. Then I probably hit a point in the call where I go like this. Right. close my pad. I've probably got to ask you a bit of a tough question, though.
Okay.
Are you sure? I feel like we're getting on quite well. I don't want to offend you.
Yeah, go on.
If I said it sounded a bit like you've given up, what would you tell me?
Bang. Defense mode. I've not given up. You know all the classic answers a prospect will give you.
The pause. There's a bit of theatre to a lot of this stuff in sales, you know. But the pause, even the tone of voice. Like if I'm like, ha ha ha, we're talking this kind of jovial way all the time, and then all of a sudden I drop it right down and I say, well, I've got to ask you a really tough question. You start leaning in a bit, listening a bit closer. Bloody hell, what's he going to ask me? And it's like if someone, you know, a teacher at the front of the class says, right, I'm going to ask someone a really tough question. As much as you're thinking, please don't ask me, please don't ask me, you are paying attention. Because you don't know who you're made a fool of.
Yeah, I love it. And even for the people that are listening that might not be AEs or business owners that do the discovery calls, the same applies, and maybe even more so on the phone, because it's that kind of thing. I know you see it in Wolf of Wall Street, but by lowering your voice and kind of maybe even like a bit of a whisper, like you said, with the kids at the front of the class, what are you doing? You're probably holding your phone up closer to your ear. Can I ask you a bit of a difficult question? Yeah. They're listening. They're engaged in the conversation. And then you hit them with something that's probably not that difficult, not that blunt, not that weird. Depends. I know that some of your sales calls get a bit weird. Swans?
Yeah. No, but you know the weird one, don't you, that we ask, that it acts as a bit of a pattern interrupt to get people back in. I know this isn't about weird questions, but me and Jack were on a call once, and Jack actually started laughing at this as well. We had a client who said, do you mind if I come into the office and work with you one day? And I said, yeah, but I've got a bit of a weird question before you do. He went, go on. I said, how tall are you? Jack started laughing, and the guy was like, I'm 6 foot. Why? What's that got to do with anything? It's like, well, I'm 6'2", so I can't have anyone who's taller than me come in the office. And it just acts as that little pattern interrupt. But the softening of all questions that either feel like blunt, weird, direct, whatever they are, just say what they are. But if I could advise salespeople on anything, the sooner you start asking the tough questions and not leaving things, when you know I should have asked that, chances are, if you don't ask the tough questions, you'll get the tough answers later on down the line. Mm. So just make sure you're being a bit of a bastard and not letting anyone just get off the hook.
Yeah. And I think it is that thing of like looking upstream when something goes wrong in a deal later on, where there's more people that need to be in that conversation. It can sometimes feel a little bit weird, like saying, obviously you're not going to say it, but like, excuse me, Zach, are you the only decision maker? But then when you label it with the sense of, listen, Zach, I've got to ask you a bit of a tricky question here. Is there anyone else that needs to be in on this conversation? It's not that tricky of a question.
No, exactly. I'll give you another example that I think is important. So I think from, you know, we've trained our guys, we do a little bit of external training with some companies. I've realized that it's not the people who are like a hard no that people struggle with, or qualifying a yes and someone who's quite interested properly. It's that bit in the middle where it's kind of someone who's a little bit indifferent and seems a bit like they're not that bothered or not that invested, but they are still kind of going through the motions and going through the call. And we're not really getting that like bite out of them of, yeah, I've got this problem, I need help with it. So I'll throw it to you, Jack. So if you're on a call with me, I'm answering all your questions, but I seem a bit like I'm not that arsed. What's a challenging, blunt question to get me into that zone?
Can I be really honest with you, Zach?
Yeah.
And it depends. So I'm asking the question, not a label. Have you given up? Is a big one that you can ask, or you can go down the line of, are you? I'm trying to think of the right way to word this.
I think if it was somebody who sounds a bit indifferent, the simplest answer is often the best answer. So I think just telling someone, you sound a bit indifferent to this.
Yeah, so that's where it's more of a label rather than a question.
Yeah, it sounds like, you can soften it by saying, if I said you sounded a bit indifferent, a bit passive,
what would you tell me?
What would you tell me? But I think, yeah, do you mind if I make a bit of a blunt observation? You sound a bit on the fence. Now, if I'm not, and I disagree with you, and I'm not, that's just kind of a tick I've got, a bit of a, my tone of voice or whatever. But if you're wrong, and I am actually really invested, what will I then do?
Defend it to the high heavens.
Am me defending myself, or you persuading me to do something, what's better?
Well, do we need to answer that on a sales podcast?
Exactly, exactly. Exactly. So sometimes you've got to think, if you're new to sales or you're trying to kind of reinvent your approach a little bit, of reverse engineering it. If I think, well, I'll just tell him how great we are, that's not going to get you anywhere. But if I say, I'm going to ask you a bit of a tough question, and here's something I'm going to ask you, and when you disagree with me on it and say, well, I have got all those problems, I'm invested in fixing it, that's much better than me just telling you how great I am.
Yeah. 1,000,000%. And I think there's something in that where, like, it goes back to that thing of like the trust thing, and you don't need to like your surgeon or your lawyer. You're there because you trust them. And actually, somebody that listens and doesn't talk too much and actually offers solutions, you're more likely to like them than some charismatic bloke that supports the same football team as you.
I don't even like football.
And I'm not even charismatic.
That's a great note to leave it on.
What a pair we make. Beautiful. So yeah, this is a big piece of advice, and I love softening the hard questions. And I think, like, on sales, can I ask a really direct question? Is there any reason why you wouldn't be able to attend the meeting? If I send you over an email, what are the chances that you're going to get back to me? All of these different things, and I think we've covered a little bit in the email objection as well. But asking the direct questions, so you're just calling out the behavior. If you feel it in your gut, you should be saying it. And it's one of those that actually, I know you, I was going to say inside out, there's that. But I know that these kind of questions you use in everyday life. And that is what sales is. It's the art of communication. And these kind of questions, when you have to have a difficult conversation and you may need to say, right, the invoice hasn't been paid yet, Zach, I need to have a really difficult conversation with you.
Yeah.
Their brain worries. And then all of a sudden,
Where's my money?
Sounds a bit cruel, actually, doesn't it?
What? Manipulative?
Yeah, a point. I guess it's
all manipulative, but used in the right hands, it's for a good purpose. But there's no getting away from, if you know how to do these things in the wrong hands.
Dangerous.
It could be, but, you know, that's for another podcast. That's for ethics in another 6 weeks.
Exactly. And I think I heard something the other day that we'll end it on there, that it's manipulation and influence. The difference is the intent. You like that?
Beautiful.
Trench tips, you've been listening. I've been Jack Frimpson.
I've been Zach Thompson.
We'll see you soon.